I've met people before that are real thrill seekers. You know, they really enjoy a little rush of adrenaline, and they look forward to that, and they, you know, enjoy those things in life. You know, I had a bit of that in myself. You know, as I was a kid growing up, I loved roller coasters. And any chance I could get to ride a roller coaster, I'd take it. And my dream came true one day. We were at this amusement park, and it was close to closing time, and there was no one in line. So the operator let us ride a roller coaster again and again and again without getting off, which I thought was awesome. And when we got off, within 15 seconds, my friend realized his stomach didn't agree with him, but it was a good time. But, you know, I've met other people that are like that. You know, they'll say, you haven't lived unless you've driven a race car, or you haven't lived unless you've jumped out of a plane with a parachute, or you haven't lived unless you've been snowboarding in the Rocky Mountains. You know, whatever it might be. You know, Mother Teresa was a bit of a thrill seeker too. You know, you wouldn't expect it looking at a very, very small Albanian sister. But she sought out a different type of thrill. And one of the things that she said is, you've never really lived until you've done something for someone who can never repay you. You've never really lived until you've done something for someone who can never repay you. And she lived that out. You know, for quite a few years, she would work in the streets of Calcutta, and they ran a home where she would pick up people who were literally dying in the gutters, and she would take them into a dignified place, and she would care for them so that when they would die, they'd die in the loving embrace of somebody who cared about them. And these are people who were dying. There's no way that they could do any return for what was being done for them. But nevertheless, she recognized the value of doing things for people who could never repay you. You know, when someone is unable to help themselves or they're in a difficult situation and we help them, you know, without getting anything in return, you know, it's a true sense, we get a true sense of the love of God and of his goodness flowing through us. And that's an experience that can fill us with joy, but it's not rooted in selfishness. It's not rooted in like us wanting to feel joyful about something. It's a recognition and a delight in the goodness of God. Delighting that God's goodness is being made present right now in this situation. And you've never really lived until you've experienced that. Because ultimately, we're created for union with God. We're created to experience his goodness, his infinite goodness. And to be able to have some share in that is a privilege. And Jesus, in today's gospel, he gives us the two greatest commandments. The first is to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so what our Lord is teaching us is the importance of living our lives for others. You know, so often, you know, we tend to focus on what we can accumulate for ourselves, you know, whether it's financial security or, you know, nice vacation or doing fun things that we enjoy. But we forget the true value and what brings true richness to life is what we give to others, to sacrifice and to give even to the point where it hurts, and to be willing to continue to sacrifice. And St. Paul gives us a perfect example of that, you know, as he's preparing for death. And this is in his second letter to Timothy. He says, I am being poured out like a libation. His love for God was so great that he poured himself out in his ministry, spreading the gospel from community to community, establishing churches. He literally poured himself out, even when he faced persecution. You know, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. You know, he was faced all sorts of imprisonments, and ultimately he was executed. But he recognized that his life was meant to be poured out of love of God and for the sake of others. And so a good question for us to ask is, you know, how can we do that? What does that look like in our lives? How can we do something for someone who can never repay us? And the first, I think, a good question to ask is, who around us is in need? You know, there might be people very close to us, and we should start with them. And if we don't know who's in need around us, you know, say a prayer to God to reveal to us who around us is in need. And maybe there's someone who just needs someone to listen to them and to talk to them. You know, sometimes people just feel isolated and abandoned, and they feel like nobody cares about them. And simply being there to listen to them can make all the difference in the world. Or maybe there's someone who needs prayers, and offering a rosary or a day of fasting for a particular person might do a world of good. You know, parents, in their state in life, you know, they're in a unique position to give something to their children. First, the gift of life. You know, when parents say yes to the gift of life and they welcome a child into this world, you know, that's a gift that those children can never repay. How can we repay our parents for giving us life? There's no way that we could repay that. And the work that parents do in forming their children carefully in virtue and in faith from an early age, you know, it's faith that leads us to salvation. And that gift that parents can give to their children is beyond price. And there's nothing that those children can do to ever fully repay that. You know, for priests, you know, when priests baptize somebody, that individual receives eternal life. The bridge, you know, they're brought into union with God, and a bridge is built between them and God, and sin is overcome. How could you repay someone for that? Or confession, when someone's reconciled to God, if they've committed a mortal sin and their relationship is ruptured and it's healed through the sacrament of confession. Or when we're fed with the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, how can we ever repay that? And the ministry of priests is rooted in ultimately what Christ himself does for us, in offering his sacrifice of his life so that we can be reconciled to our Father. How can we ever repay that? You know, spouses, you know, they're called to sacrifice for each other day in and day out. And sometimes it's easy to, you know, for spouses to take the other one for granted or to get upset with all that they have to do. But those are opportunities for us to show our love through pouring ourselves out. You know, what can we do for God? You know, God is infinite. He has everything. But we can give him our hearts. You know, we can make the sacrifice of our time when we could be doing something else. We could be playing video games. We could be on Facebook. We could be watching TV. But we make the sacrifice and say, I'm going to devote this time to prayer. That time that we devote to our Lord is precious in his eyes. And so, you know, a life of love means that we're poured out again and again. But that's what brings richness and goodness to our lives. You know, life without love is empty. And, you know, if we become self-centered in our goals, we become trapped in our own unhappiness. You know, but a life of love teaches us to go beyond ourselves and to find true riches. And we might feel at times that we can't make that much of a difference in the world. You know, there's so much darkness around us. You know, how can we make that much of a difference? And maybe we can't. You know, we're very small, and maybe we can't make a huge impact. But that doesn't mean that we can't bring the goodness of God into the world in small ways around us and teach and touch individuals in a way that's powerful. And to bring God's goodness into this world is a richness beyond measure. And so as we reflect upon our readings today, you know, we ask ourselves the question, what can we do for others that they can never repay us for?